What's your faith been like? What is your faith like at the start of this new year? Do you have faith in the one and only true God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the person of the Holy Spirit? What's your faith like? There have been a few instances in my life when I felt that I've been given by God some real knowledge of something that's going to happen. It's quite amazing feeling when it's occurred. And it hasn't happened very often. I remember as a young Christian, a student at university, it was a normal weekend. Some friends of mine, a good Christian friend, whose boyfriend at the time wasn't a Christian, had gone away for the weekend. And I was in church on a Sunday morning. And I just felt God saying to me that this man was going to become a Christian that day. They returned in the evening. And God had done something wonderful in his life. And Trevor had become a Christian. How amazing is that? Someone we've been praying for some time, but God has touched his life. And for no reason other than it being God, God had revealed to me that that was going to happen. I also remember a day when the phone rang at work. And it was someone I'd never spoken to before on the phone. I may have spoken to them once before. But I just felt they were going to give me a new job. That's exactly what he did. Gave me a new job. Quite amazing the way that God sometimes reveals some things to us in most remarkable ways. Consider what God is capable of when you put your trust in him. Just think about that for a minute. Think about the God that we've been reading about in the Bible, that we've been singing to, that we've been praying to. Think about what this amazing God can do when we put our trust in him. And now imagine what it could be like when collectively we put our trust in him for something that he's going to do. We've got an amazing God that can do incredible things, that changes things in most remarkable ways. Our passage is about some men that had absolutely remarkable faith. And it was a faith that was put into action. As we read the gospel accounts up until this point in Mark chapter 2, the accounts of Jesus, we read about Jesus teaching God's people. We read about him doing some amazing things. Lots of miracles and lots of healings. Now as we come to this passage in Mark chapter 2, we see Jesus withdrawing from the crowds, having withdrawn from the crowds, but now he's returning to his home. And the crowds are gathered in the house, even to the point that they were filling the doorway. Now this account in Mark chapter 2 of the Jesus healing the paralytic man, we find in other gospel accounts as well, in Matthew and in Luke. And in Luke chapter 5:17, it says that there were some prominent people among them, including Pharisees and teachers of the law. So in this house, crammed full of people, it wasn't just any old group of people, but there were some people that really knew the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament. And they weren't just locals either, because they'd come from every village of Galilee, from Judea, and even as far away as Jerusalem. And that was no short distance in those days either. This was 60 or 70 miles at least. And yet they'd come together and were crammed into this house to hear what Jesus had got to say. So word was certainly getting round about Jesus by Mark chapter 2. Even though it was the early days of Jesus' ministry, they wanted to hear what he had to say. So, if you've got your Bibles open and you look at Mark chapter 2, You see in verse 2, it says they gathered in such large number that there was no room left. Not even outside the door. So one assumes that not only were they crammed inside, but they were cramming to look in and to be able to hear what was going on. And the reason that they were there in numbers? Well, Jesus was there. And he was preaching the word. He was teaching them. Now, I don't know what your experiences have been of the of life, but perhaps even the last week. But actually being in a confined area with lots of people isn't always the most pleasant of experiences. Perhaps one or two of you experienced this week, if you've been to a particularly busy shop, or maybe to some sports event over the holidays. Now imagine what it must have appeared to be like for these men that had arrived carrying a man that was paralysed on a mat. Coming to this house to see it not only crammed full but people spilling out of the doorway. Well, they must have concluded that it was impossible to force their way in, and particularly if they were carrying a man on a mat. But they weren't going to be put off, were they? And therefore, they must have been really, really serious about wanting to get to Jesus. So serious that they were prepared to start dismantling the roof of the house, so they could lower the man down to where Jesus was. And in verse 4, the account says, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowering the mat the man was lying on. Well, again, probably most of you sitting here today will have seen little pictures at some stage in your life of what this might have looked like. But we're given to believe that the house will have been a house with a flat roof, which would have been typical of that time, with stairs up onto the roof, and made of mud and sticks and various other things. And they literally climbed up the steps with the man on the mat and started digging a hole in the roof. I mean, it sounds absolutely mad. But these guys that were carrying this man were really, really serious about bringing the man to Jesus. And so they started digging that hole in the roof. Digging it right through. Presumably all the crud went down to the very place where Jesus was standing. It's people are laughing. It was pretty funny, isn't it, really, when you think about what was going on. But that's what they did. They were really serious about coming before the Saviour and bringing this man to him. So despite all the bits falling, they were lowering the man down. And because of the faith of not only the paralytic, but also the people with the paralytic, Jesus forgave the man's sins. This man lowered down before the Lord Jesus Christ. This man lowered down to him. Jesus forgave his sins. Collectively, the group trusted in the power of God. They had made amazing efforts to get this man to Jesus. And we assume that that their faith and his faith was such that the Lord Jesus knew their hearts. Verse 5 it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. So what's happened here? Well, firstly, the men had faith. The men had faith. It started there. Such faith that they were determined to get to Jesus. And Jesus knew that faith. What's your faith like this morning? Are you determined to be before the Saviour? Determined in your life, in the days ahead, now, tomorrow, the rest of your life to be right before the Saviour? Are you sitting here ready and willing to stand beside others to ensure that they are right before the Saviour? They had such faith. And what did Jesus say? Son. What a statement to be called son in the first place. But son, your sins are forgiven. Well, it sounds fantastic. It sounds amazing. And yet, I wonder if they're all disappointed at this point. As the man was lowered, a paralytic, paralyzed, unable to move, we assume. What did Jesus say? He saw their faith and he said, son, your sins are forgiven. But were they disappointed? Were they expecting Jesus to heal the man? Was the man expecting to be healed? I'm sure yes. It's easy to be hungry after temporary things. It's easy to be hungry for health, for a better way of life, for a better tomorrow, for more money, for better relationships. But Jesus was giving so much more than a physical improvement to this man's being. Now this is the first time in the Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, first four books of the New Testament, that we see Jesus forgiving someone's sins. And in fact, having looked more broadly, there was only a couple of times when Jesus specifically forgave people's sins. But this was the first time. So why did Jesus choose this particular occasion, this opportunity, to publicly forgive a person's sins for the first time? Jesus had been healing the sick. He'd been performing miracles before the crowds. But this occasion was when the teachers of the law were there. The Pharisees, distinguished teachers of the area, had gathered. And God's timing is perfect. And therefore, the first time the Bible records Jesus forgiving sins is when the lots of people that are knowledgeable about God's law around. And Jesus will have known that it was going to cause a problem. The academics believed that only God could forgive sins. They considered Jesus' comments to be blasphemy. Verse 7 says, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus is declaring publicly, even before these scholars, that he is God. This is God. This is God, the only one who can forgive sins. Jesus is declaring that he is God. And Jesus as God knows exactly what the teachers of the law are thinking and saying. So in order to demonstrate his authority to forgive sins, he then heals the paralyzed man. Verse 8. Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. What an amazing God. Not only did the man know his sins forgiven, but actually Jesus has shown his amazing power and healed the man that was able to get up from his paralyzed state and actually receive a physical healing as well. What an amazing God. Wouldn't it have been enough to just know that your sins are forgiven before God? But we have a God that does the miraculous as well. So what were the results of all this? Well, firstly, in verse 12, he got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of them all. Jesus told him to. He did it. He got up and did exactly that. And the man not only received spiritual healing, but physical healing as well. And then, this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The people praised God, but only in response to what they saw. And they almost certainly missed the really, really great piece of new news from Jesus, that he was able to forgive their sins. This was new news. The prophecies had foretold that the Saviour would come and be able to deal with sin. But actually this was God himself proclaiming forgiveness to a man. So where does this leave you this morning? Are you looking for attractive physical experiences of God? Or are you hungry for God's word to feed you spiritually? If you're a Christian this morning, how seriously are you taking God's promises? God's promises to you. Are you acting in faith with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Acting with them to lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Desperate, like the men with the paralytic, to take the man to be right before the Saviour to receive forgiveness of sins. Is that you this morning? Are you working with others to help them, to lead their colleagues, their friends, their neighbours to this God who can forgive sins? God's people here at Kingfisher need to be serious about helping each other to take people to meet Jesus. How are we going to do that in 2016? I'll leave you that question. And if you're not a Christian this morning, then please know that there are people here today that are serious about helping you find the only one that can forgive sins. We might have physical needs today and need God's touch of healing, but our real need is to know God's forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ alone.